As we continue here, America 250, Michigan made. We're very flexible here. Marie Osborne is coming up in just a moment, but I have to tell you, we just met a lovely person here. Her name is Marcia. She's in the Witness Protection Program, so we're not using her last name. No, Marcia, and she works in our business, and we're not going to reveal that she works at Channel 7 and Channel 20. But I do want to – I had to bring that up because you're giving us the Pistons next year.
True.
That's a big deal. Mm-hmm. That's a big step, and we really appreciate knowing we'll – the Pistons and we can watch them free without all this ridiculousness. The next time the next sport's going to be on the Betty Crocker Network or something. Anything we have to pay extra for, it's going to happen. But the point is, the reason we have Marcia here, you bought your first car from Steph Camp.
I did. I was very, very excited. I think at the time my college internship led me to Auto Show that we all know and love, and I saw a concept car that was called Crossfire, and it was on a turntable. I'm going to get that car. I'm going to have that car one day, and that was something I achieved in 2005. I think it was the only, if I don't have this fact wrong, it was the only car that Daimler and Chrysler made together.
Yeah, that Mark is waving his head yes, okay. So he would know he was there.
Yes, and I still have that car. I'm not letting it go anywhere. I actually was here today to have some service work checked out on it, and I'm real excited. Just
a 2005 Crossfire.
2005.
And you love it to this day? I can see
it
in your face.
Day,
you
yeah.
just love it.
Yeah, I'm not getting rid of that car. It looks good. It's black. I remember I drove it off the lot here at Smith Camp, and I still was just like, I can't. I got my dad. I said, I can't believe this is my car.
Oh, that's
nice. He pulled out of the, out of the dealership to receive it.
Now, Mark is saying he is thrilled that you're still driving that car and you don't want to get rid of it, but he said you probably have room for one more car.
Oh, yes. Did get that, actually.
Oh, you did?
It's a Wrangler, yeah. Oh,
there you are. Man, you found the right person for us to talk to, Mark. Good for you. Well, I know you're busy. You're working.
Yes.
I'm going to let you work.
Okay.
But I just thought it was too good to talk to be able to talk to somebody who's had a wonderful experience twice.
Yes.
Buying vehicles from Sneth Camp.
Yes.
Thank you, Marcia.
Okay.
God bless you.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. All right. We've got Marie standing by, Director of Community Affairs and News. And she's been doing these great series for us, America 250, Michigan Made. During World War II, Detroit became something more than a city out of automobiles. It became the beating industrial heart of the Allied war effort. You remember it. President Franklin D. Roosevelt famously called it the arsenal of democracy. Well, WJR's Marie Osborne joins us with another America 250, Michigan Made. Marie?
And Paul, this remains, it has to remain, enduring, shining moments in Michigan history.
In December of 1940, as war raged overseas, President Roosevelt had to motivate and inspire a nation.
We must be the great arsenal of democracy.
In no place was that vision realized more powerfully than here in Detroit. Before Pearl Harbor, the Motor City built cars. After it, Detroit built victory. Assembly lines became lifelines. At Ford's Willow Run plant, bomber parts rolled off the line day and night. By 1944, a completed B-24 Liberator was leaving the factory every hour, an industrial feat once thought impossible. Chrysler produced tanks, General Motors built guns and aircraft. What had been chrome and steel for highways became weapons for liberation. As men marched off to war, young women from around the metro area flocked to the plants. Among them was 19-year-old Rose Sarnecki.
I made good money, which helped my family because we didn't have a father.
More than 400,000 women joined Detroit area factories, reshaping both the workforce and the future of America. And Rose Sarnecki, well, she became a Rosie the Riveter.
It worked out very well and was a good job, and I know I was doing something good.
For Rose and women like her, it was hard, honest work.
Did you ever think that you were making history in any way?
No, just did the job.
Detroiters live the war every day. Gas was rationed, lights were dim for blackout drills, families crowded around radios listening for news from the front.
This nation is making a great effort to produce everything that is necessary in this emergency, and with all need. This great effort requires great sacrifice.
And thousands of miles away, hundreds of young men from Michigan became liberators.
Soldiers, sailors, and airmen of the Allied Expeditionary Force, you are about to embark upon the great crusade toward which we have striven these many months. The eyes of the world are upon you. The hopes and prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere march with you.
General Dwight D. Eisenhower later credited American industry for Allied victory, saying the war was won by the tools of production as much as by the valor of men. Detroit supplied those tools. By war's end, Detroit was a beacon of American determination and muscle. Hope came stamped in steel. America 250, Michigan made.
And so, Paul, that is something that completely changed our world here in the metro area in Michigan, and we helped change the world because of our actions.
And, you know, I'll tell you something. All my life, being born and raised in Monroe, and I only left for a short while because I couldn't find a full-time job in radio here, I've always told the story proudly of Detroit and Michigan being the arsenal of democracy. But I had never heard the story of Franklin D. Roosevelt and you just now gave us. And so I am forever grateful that you just revealed all of that information to a lot of us who certainly knew we were the arsenal of democracy but didn't know the details behind it.
Right, and that even Eisenhower said, yes, it was the valor on the battlefield of the individuals who were called to fight in the war, but it was also this war effort here at home, these workers who went to work in these factories to make this happen. And one last note about the Rosie the Riveters, they literally changed the trajectory of women in the workplace. You know, we are sitting here today.
Women
like that. And Rose Sarnecki that we talked to there, she had this, I always think about this and tell people this. She told me that she had never worn pants in her life until she went to work in the factory.
Wow. Well, and you know, you and I both know our friend Congresswoman Debbie Dingell was very much in front of the celebration when we had the big celebrations of all of the Rosie the Riveters, got them all together and their children and their children's children. And celebrated how important they were in the war effort. And when you consider what the men and women in our factories, in our auto factories did when asked to switch over to, can you imagine you've been building cars, all of a sudden you're building planes and you're building one an hour? I mean, imagine that.
Yeah. It'd be perfect, right? So there was no room for error here on this production line. So it was, I'm telling you, it really is an awe-inspiring moment when I was reading up on this and trying to put this together. It's really awe-inspiring.
Well, you've been doing a marvelous job. And I thank you for all the work I know that has to go into this. And I've said to Ann Thomas, our boss, I said, man, I'd like to do one of those. And she said, fine, write it and do it. I went, what? You mean I'd have to write it? And you are writing all these, aren't you?
I am indeed. And we, you know, find
God
the audio.
You.
Yeah, find
God
the audio.
Bless you.
It's, yep.
Well, you're doing a great job. And on behalf of all of us at WJR, we thank you for all the extra effort, for sure.
Thank you, Paul.
Marie Osborne, our WJR Director of Community Affairs and News, her America 250 piece, the Motor City, the Arsenal, America, the Arsenal of Democracy. 129 at 760 WJR.